Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You gotta hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. We are happy to be joined by Jalen Thompson here off the top of the segment at Jalen Thompson on X, Royals reporter for the KC Star. Carlos Estevez, Jalen, keeping the Royals in the news last week after we talked to you. So let's get into it. Boy, it certainly never hurts to have more bullpen arms, right? What did you think of the move?
Yeah. Hey, guys. Good to see you guys again. I thought the move was really shrewd. I thought it was a savvy move. I thought it was something that the Royals could have needed if they look at their offseason plans. You know, everyone knows they wanted to get a middle of the order of bat, but that didn't resonate in the way they wanted it to this offseason. So they pivoted. And when they pivoted, they went to the bullpen, and they thought that the best way to get this done was to get a reliever in Carlos Estevez to be down there, have an opportunity to finish some games alongside Lucas Urseg, and really just shorten the game, which is what every team wants to do in the majors. When you get 6 from your starters, then you want your bullpen to lock it down, and that's what the Royals are trying to do, and they have some really good options to do that.
Yeah, it's certainly pretty tantalizing, Jalen, thinking about the different combinations and the different buttons that can be pressed in the bullpen this upcoming season, whether we're talking about Estevez closing out games and Urseg in the eighth or vice versa. Hunter Harvey, if healthy, being able to, you know, come in and be a pretty integral part of that bullpen as well. I think what it does for me, and tell me if I'm off base here, but I think what it does for me is I think it solidifies the notion that Chris Bubich will probably be back in the rotation, maybe as the fifth starter. And they're probably not going to use Michael Lorenzen much at all out of the bullpen. Like, he's probably solidified his place in the rotation as well. I think that with that signing of Estevez, that kind of, at least for me, tells me that. Is that off base?
No, you're absolutely pretty much right. We had Royals rally this past Saturday, and we talked to JJ Piccolo, and he said pretty much the similar things. He was saying that the rotation is going to feature Michael Lorenzen as pretty much that number 4. And the fifth spot is going to come down to the front runners of Chris Bubich or Alec Marsh. And it's going to be whoever wins that competition in spring training. And, you know, they're still going to try to look to bring along Kyle Wright slowly. And they still have Daniel Lynch and Noah Cameron and others that can potentially fill in some starts down the road. But for right now in spring training, look for Bubich and Marsh to be in that competition for that fifth spot. In that bullpen, like you mentioned, Hunter Harvey's coming back. They said that he should be on track and feel well to pitch in spring training. And, you know, they kind of got what they need, but who knows? Any of the injuries happen, things like that, but you're absolutely right in that assessment.
So what do you make of this being the preference, this bullpen arm with Estevez, Jalen Thompson joining us on KC Star, over adding a middle-of-the-order outfield bat? Was it either or? Do you think they tried on the bat and then settled on this? Do you think this was their preference? Walk us through what you're hearing on how they've approached those two needs and investing the big money in Estevez and not a bat.
So they tried. They tried to get a bat all offseason. I know you guys saw some of the reports out there where they potentially were in on Anthony Santander. They were potentially in on Jurgensen Profar. We talked to Royals owner John Sherman, and he alluded to the fact that, you know, they tried to get some marquee outfielders on the market. It just didn't go their way. So they pivoted to the bullpen because Royals manager Matt Cottrell was talking to J.J. Piccolo at winter meetings, and he said it'd be a good idea to potentially get another reliever. So when the reliever market in free agency and the trades this offseason started to move in the last couple of weeks, the Royals kind of got on that train, and they realized that getting Carlos Estevez was the best option for them to win games right now. It helped increase the win profile of the team, and that's what they want to do this season. So they went with the reliever option, and I think it was a good decision, because if you look at some of the names that are out there right now, to be that middle of the order bat, it kind of isn't as strong as it was when the offseason started. So they're going to bank a lot on Hunter Renfroe to bounce back. They're going to look at MJ Melendez. Hopefully he can come together. And then they also mentioned this one key tidbit too. They said at Royals Rally that Michael Massey and Jonathan India will get some reps in left field during spring training, and Michael Garcia will get some reps in center field and could also get some game time experience there this season.
You know, Jalen, I know that there was one point during the season last year where the Royals outfielders combined had the worst OPS in Major League Baseball. And that was when Hunter Renfroe was really struggling. And then, you know, we saw MJ Melendez not really able to come around, and Kyle Isbell wasn't contributing a ton. Now, they did, especially Renfroe, turn things around later on in the season. What do you think the chances are? You mentioned a bounce back potentially from Hunter Renfroe. What do you think the chances are that we'll see, you know, those main guys in the outfield be able to contribute offensively at a better clip than what they did a year ago?
I think you will see Hunter Renfroe kind of bounce back to what he normally has done in his MLB career. It's just a lot of experience over there with him. And, you know, having off season to get back where he needs to be, and, you know, just come in and your second go around with the Royals, you know the system, you know the environment. A lot of people forget that he was a free agent that came over last season. So he had to learn everything. He had to learn Kansas City. He had to kind of adjust to his new team. And now that he's got a year under his belt, I think he'll come back in and he might be what you're used to seeing from Hunter Renfroe. As far as MJ Melendez, we've seen a lot of things. Like he's changed his batting stance quite a bit. He's worked on some things a little bit to get back in form, get to the ball a little quicker while he's at the plate. So maybe that can spark something. But the Royals know that he has talent, and they've seen his talent before. They just need to see it more consistently. And I think that with having Jonathan India and Michael Massey potentially working at different positions and maybe getting some starts in the outfield, you're going to see Melendez go from left field some to right field some. And they're going to play a lot of guys all over the field. But you're absolutely right. It has to be those two guys to really spark this lineup, because if they don't, then they're going to have to continue to rely on their pitching to win them games.
Which is, remember they traded Brady Singer, but I think it's okay. I think their lineup did get better. I think I'm good with the plan now when they brought in Lorenzen, and I think this is all going to be good, and they're going to be good, and the depth in the rotation will become key. Jalen, we appreciate it. We'll have more next week. We are so close to spring training, and we're so excited to have you with us through that, to sort of walk through it all, and maybe gubernatorial runs I'm hearing from Dayton Moore and other, you know, other things that are happening there with the Royals. But we appreciate it. You can follow Jalen on X at Jalen with an O Thompson. You can find his work at the KC Star. Lots of good stuff there right now. Appreciate it, Jalen. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, guys. Look forward to spring training. It's going to be fun.
All right, there goes Jalen Thompson. I saw on his X, he's commenting on the Royal Rumble. I actually got to watch the Royal Rumble. I didn't even realize I got it. It was a couple of buddies were like, oh, is anybody watching? I'm like, man, I haven't watched anything in a long time. I don't think I can see it. And like, it's on Peacock. I was like, wait, I have that. And so I fired that up and got a little Royal Rumble. Didn't catch the Grammys, but I got a little pop culture in my pro wrestling weekend.
By the way, you mentioned it. How do you feel about Dayton Moore potentially running for governor of Kansas? That apparently he's exploring a run that was announced in Kansas City earlier today.
He'd be
he'll be good on the campaign trail. You know, he probably should have run the last time before, you know, if he'd have run in like 20, I don't know what years they are, 17 or whatever it was, he'd have been on like JJ Piccolo should run for governor right now. But no, I think his personality fits it well. Dayton Moore was, and I mean this like respectfully, professionally, like was a pleasure to cover because he made time. He was very thoughtful. Any time that you got a chance to talk to him, and it, good, bad, or indifferent, whether it was good stuff or bad stuff or whatever it was, he's got the right temperament for it. Doesn't surprise me. Could make a lot of sense, honestly.
Hey, the only thing that I'll say is that, you know, you've probably got really crucial parts of state government, like the state treasurer and lieutenant governor and like all of these other positions. As long as he doesn't hang on to them a couple of years too long, then I think he'll be a good
governor. They won't be his decisions. I think the most interesting thing about it is the timing.
Is that was a good joke.
Yeah, I did.
Hung on to Hosmer, Lustock,
Hung on
to those guys way too long. Yeah,
That's right. Don't discount the fact that there's stadium talk either, which could be an interesting tie-in to that. So we'll pay attention to that a little bit. That's going to be interesting. Real quick, Tommy, we got to cram this in. Luka gets traded for, like, I was with the masses. Luka trade. I thought this was a joke when I saw this. What night was that? Saturday night.
Yeah,
I'm late, like the Mavs late traded Saturday night. Luka. Like the Mavs traded Luka. Okay. Like, that's weird. They just made the NBA Finals, and I know he's been hurt a lot this year. And then you see what they get back, and it's like Anthony Davis and nothing. You're like, whoa. What do you mean? Like, this is the NBA. They should have got about 46 first-round picks for Luka Doncic. Like, what is happening here? That's it. Like, it's nothing. It's a 29 first and Anthony Davis and a guy, and I admittedly don't watch a ton of NBA anymore that I've never heard of before. Okay. Well, that's a terrible trade. And if that wasn't terrible enough, then you see what the Spurs gave up and what the kid like what the De'Aaron Fox trade looks like. And you're like, that's what you do when you trade. Like, what on earth? How do you not get the moon for if you really want to trade Luka? Which, okay, I still think that's a really stupid thing to do. You put him out on the open market. You don't just go lock into one guy because you want 32-year-old Anthony Davis that bad. Like, what an it is the worst trade I've ever seen of this generation. Like, you got to go back to like Herschel Walker.
Yeah, I was thinking about that trade. Wayne Gretzky got traded at one point that you probably think about that move.
But that one where, you know, yeah, Gretzky, the Gretzky side of that one won. The Cowboys side of the Herschel Walker trade won.
The Lakers side of this trade is clearly going to win. What's wild to me is the coordinated PR effort. Like to smear Luka Doncic out of his, you know, on his way out of town. Like all of these concerns about his conditioning, and like that's why the Mavs wanted to move him. They were concerned about his weight, and like that all may be true, but like that didn't come up until like middle of the day yesterday, as people were roundly criticizing this trade. You saw just this mechanism of PR, probably originating from the GM for Dallas. Like talking about how it was a culture thing and how big of a deal it was to make sure that he was like conditioned, and that was a too much work for them, and like things like that. They clearly saw like just the backlash from people, and now they're trying to like smear this guy as he heads out of town.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. You think Dirk ever had conditioning questions?
All the time.
Like, come on. Come on. This isn't going to work for the Mavericks. I just don't even know how you can justify,
you know, this move.
You think you're the smartest person in the room? You think you're smarter than everybody else? The only justification, the only way that the Mavs look good here is if Luka's conditioning does lead to a lot of limited playing time, which I don't think is going to happen, but that would be it. But even if that's it, Tommy, even if that's it, you didn't get enough for him.
Well,
that only justifies it if he doesn't end up being the player we all think he already is for a long time. It's that you didn't get anything for him.
You trade a guy that you have conditioning concerns about because you're worried he's going to get injured, and you bring in a guy who gets injured more than Luka does. That's the part of it that makes zero sense at all.
They want to win with defense. All right.
Good luck.
Good luck with that. It's worst trade. I still can't believe they did that. And by the way, I don't know that Luka and LeBron are going to, where they're not going to play a lick of defense in LA now. It's going to be rough out there. Anyway, whatever. That just blows your mind. We'll be back. More Sports Daily right after.